Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast Radio Show, coming to you on this Friday, July the 21st, 2023. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are talking about simple steps for wealth, health, and happiness. Three things that I believe are important to all of us, depending on how we choose to frame it. And I'll be happy if this podcast actually records with no major hiccups here. I had an issue with my external amp earlier. We were supposed to have a guest on today. None of that worked out. It's like 200 degrees here. I'm recording on this Rodecaster that my man D-Lo got me. And for some reason, I was having issues just getting the thing turned on. So hopefully this ends up going out to all of you guys listening. If not, it's just, I guess, another great practice, episode 547. Just goes to show you, nothing is ever going to be perfect, you guys, and nothing's ever going to come perfectly easy to you. Even this far in the game, I believe we're like year number six, things just, they don't always go right, man, and that's okay. You just got to kind of pivot and ebb and flow the best you can. But that's going to be today's episode. A couple of housekeeping things before I jump in. So again, if the episode does sound a little bit different, that is why. We're on the same mic setup, but I have a completely different interface here. It's super, super fancy. And I've used it before, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in myself today, so here we are. But a reminder, our 34-day ab and core challenge just kicked off here on Monday. Right now they're on day number 5, and I believe today is the last day you guys have to enter to be eligible for all of the prizes inside of there. Now, it's our 34-day ab and core challenge. There's a workout every single day for all 34 days. We're going to leave it up for at least probably like a month after the challenge officially ends. But we're doing weekly prizes throughout from all of our sponsors. And then a lot of Jeremy Scott Fitness swag. We just got a bunch of new custom hats that they got the artwork approved literally probably 3 minutes ago. And those will be rocking and rolling here this summer, which is cool. We do have the someone else is praying for the things you take for granted shirts here in the office. We have a huge stockpile of those. Matt's working on the online store for that. But we're giving away all those. And the grand prize winner, obviously, for this thing, we fly you guys to Scottsdale. We pay for it, put you up in one of the hotels, typically close to the gym where I'm at, which is in Scottsdale here, which is not a bad place. And then you guys can come in here, rip it with me, hang out with our awesome savages, and rock and roll. So it's a win-win-win across the board. You guys get full access to everything inside the app, all my personal weekly workouts, full programs, and everything in between. So if you guys want to check it out, links in the show notes. Otherwise, jeremyscottfitness.app. You guys are rocking and rolling in there. You get a week for free. If you want to stay on, it's just a couple of pennies. And again, we load new content every single week. This thing is completely packed to the gills. The next thing we have coming after this is maybe the Action Hero Jack 2.0 program, which I did the original one for Men's Health. A lot of you guys requested it. That's on the docket. We have a microdosing mobility program that's already done. And then obviously we're into 2024. So a lot of fun, exciting stuff. And we're giving it away to you guys for pennies for what we used to charge for. So if you want to check it out, jeremyscottfitness.app, and you guys are in business. And you guys already know this episode is brought to you by my homies at AG1. drinkag1.com/jeremyscott will get you guys a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with order 1. And you guys have heard me talk about it before. I take it every day, everywhere I go. We're traveling again next week. I'll take a bunch of the travel packs with me and my shaker bottle. I'll put some water in there, throw the powder in, drink it, slam it. I'm good to go. I used to slam Mickey's Ice House 40s in college, and those tasted like shit and they weren't good for me. This actually helps me with my gut health. I do feel the immune system boost. I do feel like I have a little more energy as well. And again, I don't make an excuse not to take it. It's obviously super easy to throw into shakes. It just turns it green, but it doesn't do anything else. But honestly, I just drink it in water. It's the easiest health hack that I do every single day to get enough micronutrients in. So if you're somebody who doesn't eat enough fruits and vegetables, you find yourself kind of struggling, this is for you. Hit me up if you want a free sample. You're like, well, Jeremy, I've seen other people talk about it, or I've seen it around, but I'm not sure I want to make the investment. Message us. Monica will send you a pack right to your front door. I don't care where you live. She'll get it to you. You can try it for free, see if you like it, and then get hooked up with all the free stuff from there. So I'm happy to help you guys. Don't feel weird. Please reach out and we'll shoot you the sample. So if you're trying to really take ownership of your health, move your body around, eat real food, drink water, And then I do think it starts with the AG1. Because again, if you're going to take 15 different pills, it seems like a pain in the ass. And a lot of times you'll skip it, you'll miss some, you'll run out of some, you won't travel with them. This goes with you everywhere you go. It's easy to take in your office, easy to put in your car, and easy just to wake up and crush the day with it. So if you're interested, I'll give you guys a year supply of vitamin D, which you should already be taking, and 5 free travel packs with order 1. If you want to check out the link, drinkag1.com/Jeremy Scott, or hit me up for the free sample and I'll get you guys some, and then you get hooked up with all the free stuff after that. All other sponsors, dryfarmwines.com/Jeremy Scott Fitness. You buy a bottle of wine, get the next bottle for a penny. It's organic wine. It's not that bullshit they typically sell you at most other stores. Also, our friends at Sleeves Sold Separately, you can always put the code JSCOT15 for 15% off my joggers, hoodies, t-shirts. They're the best fits, and they really do last forever. I wear the pants basically every single day of my life. And shout out to our friends at JLab Pro, jeremyscottfitness.jlabpro.com, where we get our protein, turmeric, collagen, and krill oils. We always have a discount code for the protein and the collagen. I've known Jay for over a decade. He's a registered dietitian. He's a good dude. We trust him, and that's why I work with him. So if you guys want to check that out, the links are all in the show notes. If you're inside the app, check out the extras tab. We have a full supplement guide in deep, deep detail to help you guys kind of navigate the supplement industry and all the things that go on in terms of that. So now, we are talking about wealth, health, and happiness. If I can actually find my my show notes here. It's been a day, man. It's been a great day. I feel good. But just, you know, when shit just... You wake up and you have a plan for the day, and sometimes shit just goes fucking sideways. That's kind of how I'm living today. I had like 3 things go completely ass backwards. And honestly, now that I'm sitting here, it's ideal. Because I had kind of messed up this guest rotation, because I had one external amp die, and my schedule's been kind of crunched this morning, and I'm approving a bunch of things that should have been done 4 days ago, and I'm waiting on some other people to finish projects, I found myself here kind of navigating some new waters, which is, it worked out for the best, but definitely was not perfect. And I'm going to touch on this before we get into the episode, just my morning routine. I posted it the other day over on, what is it now, Instagram Threads, and then I posted it on Instagram too. I'm getting old, man, for these platforms, dude. I'm not old, like I'm not 96, but it's like I spend half my day just like trying to keep up with, you know, am I on Instagram? Am I on Instagram Stories? Am I on Instagram Threads? Am I on Facebook? Am I on Facebook Reels? Are we doing YouTube? Am I on LinkedIn? Are we on, you know, fucking TikTok? Are we writing an email today? Are we doing a blog post? Are we doing a podcast? It's like, what do I even really do anymore? Just post all day and reply to people on the internet, which is great. It's a gift. I'm happy to do it, but definitely it's a lot. So touching on that, my morning routine, I'm not against anything I'm going to say here. I'm just sharing what I do because I had a ton of comments, a ton of feedback, and a ton of people chiming in. My morning routine looks like this. I wake up at 3:50 in the morning. And honestly, right now in the summertime in AZ, it's basically light out before then. So my dog is up and she is almost 14 years old and she is ready to get some treats and she doesn't give a shit. If you want to lay there for 10 more minutes, she is on one. And she's like, I'm too old to be waiting for your ass, Jeremy, so get up and give me my treats. So 3:50, I'm up. Take a shit, a shower, maybe shave if I'm not super lazy, talk to my dog, and I give her the treats. I get dressed, and I drive to work. I typically drive to work in my pickup. I have no music playing. I have nothing whatsoever. When it's not 400 degrees, I have the windows down. That would be, I guess, my meditation or my mindfulness or my moment just to, you know, not have a bunch of noise and ruckus in my day when there's nobody on the road and it's quiet. But I don't do a dedicated, you know, meditation time when I wake up. I don't journal. There's no red light therapy. There's no sauna. And there sure as hell is no cold plunge for me, you know. And I share that because not everybody you follow has or needs this elaborate magical morning routine. You can't just biohack your way to success. In the end, you have to do the fucking work if you want to see real results. That's the takeaway. You just got to find what works for you and repeat that daily. And I'll talk about this more on the episode, but everything isn't for you. You know, it's the kind of the FOMO shit. Like, oh, I'm missing out. If I don't do this, you can't do all the things, dude. I'm going to touch on this later next month in really, really deep detail. And I'm going to go into a couple stories for you guys. But the one thing that's really stuck with me this year more than any other year is you just can't do all the things. And I'm saying that to all of you listening as much as I'm saying it to myself. You don't have time to do all of the things, no matter how gifted or talented or lucky or fucking amazing you are or you think you are. You don't have time to do all the things. So that's just kind of a little segue, you know, into today. On top of that, we've been working on a ton of app stuff. Like I mentioned, I've been on this mobility journey since, if I'm looking at dates here, the first day I started doing this was February 15th. I've been doing 1 hour of mobility every day since February 15th. I have not missed a day of doing at least 60 minutes of mobility every single day. Again, I'm not telling you guys to do this. I'll go back to my point I just referenced. You don't have time to do all the things. Some of you guys got real shit going on. You're not going to make time to do an hour of mobility a day, nor do you need to. However, I'm just sharing part of my journey. I've been doing that every day since February the 15th, and we are now July 21st. I'm going to share the reasons why, and I'll go into deep, deep detail about that, but that's something that I've made a mandatory thing in my day. I always did it before, if I'm being honest. Every day was at least 10 to 20 minutes. Some days it might be up to a half hour, but prior to that day, 10 to 20 minutes would be kind of what I would do. And that doesn't always have to be at one setting. It could be mixed in throughout the day, maybe 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, and a 10-minute block there, maybe 6 minutes here and 4 minutes here. I would, you know, chop it and serve it to myself any way that I could find time to get it in because I knew it was important. But it wasn't enough. And I got into a habit of doing the things that were, quote unquote, not that hard for me. And I wasn't really pushing as much as I could, if I'm being completely honest. And I found myself in some spots I didn't want to be in. And now I'm fucking crushing, man. But it's been a commitment for sure. And like anything, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? And it's been worth it for me, but it has been, it's been hard for sure. And I tie that into this ruck journey I've been on since I was talking to Michael Easter, who wrote the book Comfort Crisis. We're going to get Mike on the podcast here. And I just committed to doing a ruck every single day when I'm in town for the rest of the year. And I said I do a minimum of 10 minutes every single day. If I'm being honest, most of these days have been about a half hour. And if you don't notice, it's been like 115 here every day or hotter for the last like couple weeks. And so it's hard, man. It really is. It's miserable for sure some days. It's like you're in an oven or a hairdryer. But and no one would know if I skipped the mobility. No one would know if I skipped doing the ruck, but I'd fucking know. And it would bug me. And so I signed a contract with myself and I'm going to commit to it because I'm going to be better because of it. And I'm going to tie this in of why I'm doing all these things later on, probably next month. But the ruck is just essentially, it's a heavy pack. You could do a vest, but typically rucking is a pack. Like your backpack, we have the Fit Rucks here. I'm talking to the guys at Go Ruck. And I do 30 or 40 pounds, just put it in a backpack and I walk around at a pretty brisk pace. And that's it, man. And you just commit to doing it. And I'm sharing this because doing those things, doing real mobility, like real tissue work, really pushing your end ranges and seeing what your body is capable of and what you're comfortable doing and going out into, you know, probably the hottest, you know, place in North America anyway, or the United States, and walking around and doing this heavy ass heat ruck, it's miserable and it's not easy to do. But for me, doing hard things physically always transferred into other areas of my life. So I knew if I could get through doing this miserable physical shit, whether it's like pushing a sled or doing split squats or, you know, a deadlift challenge, or if it's rucking or hiking the Grand Canyon, whatever it was, if I could do that physically, when the shit in your day goes sideways and you get some, you know, maybe some business things go wrong, economical things, financial things, emotional things, relationship-based things, mental health things, I always found that I could revert back and refer back to the physical challenges I've had in life. And I'm like, well, fuck, if I got through that, I can get through this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I could push a sled with 500 pounds, like, I can deal with this bullshit. Like, if I could, you know, hike my tired ass up out of, with one leg out of the Grand Canyon, I can deal with this crap. So that's why I'm sharing that, not to make me look like a superhero, because I'm not. I'm just committed to doing certain things because mentally it helps me. It gives me a goal, gives me a carrot to chase, but I do feel better because of it. And I'm always about the process. And I think if you guys look at your life, there's little things that you can do that challenge you. It might not always be comfortable, but if you set some goals, these little goals, and hold yourself accountable, it's crazy how they tend to snowball into bigger goals, and you find yourself in a whole different arena than you ever thought you'd be in. And these aren't huge things, right? Like, you don't have to go ruck and you don't have to do an hour of mobility a day, but you could say, hey, I'm going to walk 5,000 steps every single day, no matter what. And I'm going to do 5 minutes of mobility every single day, no matter what. If you did that, and right now you were, let's say, walking 2,000 steps and you're doing, you know, no minutes of mobility a day, by the end of the year, you will be a different person physically. That I promise you. And the one thing you will find is those steps will end up being way more than 5,000. And that mobility 5 minutes is going to turn into way more than 5 minutes. Some days it might just be five. And some days it might be 5,000 steps. But some days it'll be 25 minutes. And some days it'll be 10,000 steps. It's funny how things like that work out. I focus on the day-to-day, not just the end result. And if you guys start to chunk your goals and look at them in like these little bite-sizable pieces, I think you'd be surprised how far you can go. So that is my little just side note here before we kick off and talk about, you know, wealth, health, and happiness. Now, I've pulled a bunch of pieces here from different things. I've seen Pat Rigsby had put a bunch of stuff out. And I found some of this. I think Gary had put a bunch of stuff out. And I'm just kind of jotting down my thoughts. What I've seen over the years from people who are both successful and people who are what I would say unsuccessful, or people who find themselves struggling. And, you know, happiness, it's a relative term, right? Like, are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Only you can be the judge of that. You know, health, I think we all have an idea of what health is and what being healthy is. To me, it's, you know, not so much what you look like, although that is a piece of it for sure. How do you move? How do you feel day to day? You know, when we say health, it's not just, you know, your physical body, you know, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, if you're a person of faith, or you're just a person who believes in, you know, something greater than just your physical body. I think all those pieces are important. And then, you know, are you wealthy? You know, and that could be in terms of finances. It could be in terms of relationships. You know, there's emotional income. There's a lot of ways to measure, you know, wealth, right? But if we're talking about money too, this is what I've seen over the years. And these are simple steps. And they might be things you guys already know, but if nothing else, it's a nice reminder to kind of drill home if you find yourself in a funk or a rut. And I know it's you're busier now than you've ever been, and it's easier now to make excuses than it's ever been. And we're just in a different We're these, you know, basic ass humans living in this kind of complex world that we created. And oftentimes it's easy to get distracted or off track. And so hopefully these can kind of help guide you on the way. So the first one, 99 times out of 100, the biggest limiting factor is in your head. If you don't believe something can happen, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. And again, I'm not a magic affirmation person and you can just say shit, but you have to believe it. Now there's, you walk a fine line of like, you know, mastery and lunacy at times. Like when you say some outlandish shit, you have to, obviously talent is a real thing. Genetics is a real thing. Timing is a real thing. You have to know, you know, Batman has no limits, you know, but you're not Batman. So you do have some. But you have to believe it can be possible before anybody else would, albeit, you know, I'm sitting in a building called Jeremy Scott Fitness. And I was talking with BJ Gadur the other day, and he, it's like this metabolic training cert book. We're cleaning out our garage, and I was going through it, and I found this book that he had created for this metabolic, like, certification. And I must have purchased it or have been gifted it. I don't remember. This is 2012, I think. So 11 years ago. And I was just texting him and a picture of it and some of the stuff. And I just message him. I go, do you know how improbable it is, dude, that we're fucking here? Like, we're still doing this and that we've made it this far. Like, we've been doing, you know, fitness as a career since pre, you know, social media. So 2000, you know, my first training cert was 2005. I was training humans. So that's 18 years for me, almost 19. BJ's even longer than that. And all the things that had to go right and all of the pieces on the journey. And Heather and I were just reminiscing about it yesterday, like training people. I started doing this training people in a fucking park, like in this dead ass, terrible Arizona heat. I would train my wife and her friends on a basketball court at like 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Like, that's how I start doing this. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if I didn't believe this shit would happen, it never would have happened. If my wife, you know, my girlfriend at the time, but Heather, my wife, then blindly, like, I don't know if she's like a, you know, I hope she doesn't, you know, take this personally. I don't know if she's like fucking delusional or she's like just a genius saint of a human. Like, but she would show up at a park with her friends on a Saturday morning when it's 100 degrees already to do the shitty workouts that I would create. And it'd be like, here's your yoga mat that you have to bring and a couple of dumbbells. And I'd take them out of the trunk of my car and we'd do these awful workouts. Like, I wish I had video of that back then, but again, we didn't have cameras even on our phones, you guys. And I think of that, like, what a fucking saint of a human. Blows my mind even as I think about it today. But my point is that if I didn't believe it would happen, it never would. And if she didn't believe it would happen, it never would have happened. But that's what I mean by limiting beliefs. A lot of you out there right now have way more resources than a lot of us had starting businesses, you know, damn near 20 years ago. And if you have a will and you have some work ethic and you fucking believe and you're willing to grind, like, it, there's a lot of awesome shit you can do, but you have to fucking believe in yourself. You really do. The next thing, and this ties in with it, you got to eat shit early on. I believe that in anything you do. This isn't just about starting a business. This isn't just about getting an education or being in a relationship or building wealth or having better mobility or getting stronger in your lifts. It's about all of it. You do have to eat shit early on. You have to be willing to take a step backwards to take 100 steps forwards. You know, when I look at like a physical body, right? Like, if we could get somebody in who's never trained ever, they've never done anything, that's probably perfect. And I know that sounds counterintuitive. Well, Jeremy, why would you want someone who's never trained? Because they have no bad habits. They don't have any preconceived notions about what they should be doing or what they can do. And they don't have any of these major movement pattern discrepancies and these things that they rely on. We could just take them as they are. And sometimes when we get so far in fitness, let's say, like, well, we got here and I'm this strong and I can do this. You can do that, but your mechanics are off. And so in order to fix the mechanics and fix the movement patterns and fix the imbalances in your body, we have to take you back. So instead of you pushing 100-pound dumbbells, we're going to have you now pushing 50-pound dumbbells. And this is what your body needs, though. And once we can correct it, then you'll be even more mobile, fitter, stronger, more endurance. But you have to be willing to take a step back to take the steps forwards. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. And if we're talking about, you know, your personal life, if you're someone who wants to, you know, advance in their career, you want to start a side hustle and turn into a business, you want to advance your business, you want to, you know, buy properties, whatever it is, I do think you have to live as cheap as you can, as long as you can. And that's what I mean by, in terms of the finances and wealth, you got to eat shit early on. You got to fight Southwest C-26, dude. That's just part of the game when you're, you know, 22 years old, and you're not making a lot of money. You got to fly the shitty Southwest seats. And you can't go to the fanciest restaurants. You can't stay at the nicest resorts. You can't drive the best cars. You can't live in the most desirable locations if you don't have the money. If you got the money, fucking dude, you know, spend it like, you know, it's going out of style. Because if you can afford it, cool. I'm not talking to you. But if you can't, you have to live as cheap as you can, as long as you can, especially early on, because those are the formidable years where you guys can build a business, when you have the most time, the most freedom, the most energy, and you're willing to put up with bullshit that you don't want to put up with when you're older. And take it from me, and I'm not judging anybody here. And I've had a lot of conversations with clients here of ours just about, you know, quality of life in eras. And I'm going to generalize here, and I'm going to sound like an old person. But obviously, when I was younger, I lived with roommates. I moved out here. I lived with two other guys in a townhouse in an upstairs bedroom that was about 8,000 degrees by, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. But I had to eat shit, and I would walk to the grocery store with $20 because I didn't have money. I couldn't go to the fancy steakhouses, you know, and I drove old, you know, shit, I drove a fucking 2008 Honda Accord as my only car until I was 38 years old. That was it. Well past when I had made real money, well past when I had a quote unquote successful business, but I kept doing it. I lived as cheap as I could, as long as I could in certain arenas. And I think that's a key piece for people, especially if you're trying to build something and you're investing back into the business and you're investing back into yourself. That, my friends, is going to pay you 1,000x more than the fucking car you're going to drive. And I'm not against nice cars. And I look at, obviously the game is different now. I do think it's a little bit tougher for kids coming up who, you know, people who weren't invested in the market 5 years ago, people who, you know, don't own properties yet. It's a rough fucking game out there, dude. But you also look at like the quality of life in the eras, you know, 20 years ago till now, you have people making 50 grand a year living in a condo or apartment that costs, you know, $5,000 a month. Like, that math doesn't compute, dude. And I know everybody wants to be fancy before they can be fancy. Everybody wants to, quote unquote, be an adult. But there's no shame, dude, in having a couple roommates as you kind of stack up cash to buy things that actually go up in value and pay you over time. But a lot of people don't want to do that. And so, again, that's just, it's where you take a step back for a year or two to take 100 steps forward for the next 20 years. And again, if you're talking about being wealthy, you guys, I think that's a huge piece of it. It's when your life overhead is low, and then you can start to build things up and you can keep it low, I go, that's when things are really going to start to stack up in the right direction. The third one, you got to figure out what you enjoy doing. And you got to figure out like what you're the best at. And you got to figure out like what really fits your skill set. And for me, that's creating things. That's organizing, doing physical shit. There's a lot of things in this business I don't like to do. And I don't like to do Infusionsoft. I don't like to create graphics. I don't like to edit. I don't like to upload. That's why I outsource people for that. Now, in the beginning, I couldn't do it. But now I can, and it frees me up to do more of the shit that I'm good at. It's the same thing with my personal life. When I was broke as shit, we always had to mow our own lawn and do our own landscaping. We had to clean our own pool. We always had to clean our own house and scrub toilets and scrub the showers, and I didn't like it. And so now I can outsource those things, and I can spend more time doing the things that I'm good at that make more money to pay people to help me do those other things. It's the same way when you're in a business where you know, it's not that you don't do anything with your accounting, but you have a CPA. He's there to advise you. You have a financial advisor. Not that you don't know what investments you're doing. Not that you don't know where your money's going. Not that you don't do the education, but they're there to help you. And I think if you're not happy with your career, you're not happy with your job, or you're not happy with your day-to-day, figure out what you like to do and figure out what you are the best at doing in your life and figure out the things that really fit your skill sets. And be honest with yourself. If you suck at something and you hate it, is there a way to offload it? Maybe not today, but in the future. The next thing, you got to focus on solutions and opportunities, not problems. If you want your problem solved, sitting there and bitching and whining and complaining about it isn't going to help anything. You have to look for solutions. When you just sit and dwell on something, your framework and your mind, it traps you. And it doesn't allow you to be free and to look at things as an opportunity to make change. And I'll talk about this in my physical body in a little bit. But you can't look at every single thing as, you know, like a fire drill and a catastrophe. Sometimes the problems that happen in your life, or like the pain that you're feeling, it's just a signal. and it's a sign that you need to change, pivot, shift, and go in a different direction. And sometimes those painful things and sometimes those problems and sometimes those opportunities that you didn't get end up being the biggest blessing and gifts in your life. Next one on the list. It's just ready, fire, aim. I talk about this a lot. You just got to start trying stuff. You really do. Fuck the perfection shit. You know, like nothing's perfect. It's never going to be. There's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect setting. There's never a perfect anything. You can have good timing. You can even have great timing. I don't know if there's perfect timing. And this paralysis by analysis isn't going to help anybody. It's never going to be perfect. You're never going to be ready. You don't get the courage before you jump out of the plane. You get the courage, you know. Well, actually, I should say this. You don't get it after. You have to have it before. Does that make sense? Like, you have to just fucking try. You have to just jump. You have to just leap without knowing it's going to work out. And by doing that thing that you're, well, I'm not sure I should post this or share that or create that, or I'm not sure I should quit or I should apply for this or do that. Like, you're only going to get stronger. You're only going to get the courage by taking the chance. It doesn't happen magically before, and it doesn't just happen magically right after. It's that moment in between, you know, and this is my take on things. Procrastination is not acceptable. You know, successful people, they implement stuff in a hurry. The faster that you start things, the bigger your bank account's going to be, and the more things are going to snowball your way. And it's just you creating a body of work, and it's creating a habit, and it's creating this momentum that's really fucking hard to slow down. It really is. Now, a lot of people procrastinate. Well, I'm going to start eating better on Monday, or, well, you know what? I should work on my mobility, but I'll do it after my summer vacation. Or, well, you know, I should get my resume ready in case, you know, company X fires me. Or, you know, if I just get this done, then I'll start my business. You know, you have to be quick on the move. Just looking at things and waiting for the perfect time, I think you're missing so many opportunities. And if you look at all the days that you skipped trying, that could have been the day where three people saw it and you got this massive opportunity. Or that could have been the day where you had a breakthrough with your physical body. Or that was the day where you mentally pushed through something that now propelled you to do these four other things that came your way. But because you didn't try, nothing changed and nothing happened. Next one on my list, successful people are always moving. Success is an uphill battle, you guys. I talk about it a lot. Either you're going uphill or downhill, you're never staying the same. It's never static. Even one step forward is one step forward. I think of that with everything. If you're somebody who, you know, can't seem to save money, don't look at it as like you got to save $10,000 in a month. Can you save $3 a day? And if you can, just set it up on auto draft. I can invest $3 a day into my, you know, Fidelity account or into my Coinbase account or whatever you're putting your money into. You can commit to doing that. And you have to. Even one step is one step. Can you do 1 minute of mobility? You know, can you walk 1,000 steps? Can you do one push-up? Can you save one fucking dollar? Can you have one positive thought? Like, the answer is yes. And when you start to frame it that way, like, it's not that much to ask. Like, a 30-minute workout is 2% of your day. To be physically active for 30 minutes is a 2% investment of your day. Like, we can't do that? Like, everybody is capable of doing that. Like, we can all do that. Next on my list, you got to think big, dude. The most successful people, they just think differently than the rest. And I know sometimes it's looked at as like crazy, but they think bigger. They think about doing unique things, doing different things, doing big things, if you want to frame it that way, things that are not ordinary. They set massive goals. They take massive actions. And if you look at anybody who's living a life that you think seems, you know, fun, fulfilling, unique, extraordinary, it doesn't happen by thinking small or playing small and looking at things maybe in a different light. And if I'm being honest, you know, until I started doing this, you know, for a living, my framework of what was possible was so limited because I never saw anybody else doing, you know, entrepreneurial shit. And I thought, well, you go to your job, you get a paycheck, that's it. This is about how rich I can be. This is about how fit I can be. This is about how happy I can be. And this is probably, you know, the places that I can go and where I can be at in life. And it's just not true. You know, I talked about this to start off, like you're limited by what your mind believes and the goal that you set for yourself. Now, if you set these big ass goals, you got to do a shit ton of work and everything comes at a cost and everything has a price to pay. And there's sacrifice and there's time and there's energy and there's effort and there's talent and there's dedication that goes into it. And if you have the audacity to dream big, I want to work for myself. I want to be a multimillionaire. I want to be, you know, in the best shape possible. I want to be strong, mobile, fit, all of these things. I want to be the best husband. I want to be a great dad. I want to be an awesome mom. If you have the audacity to say these things, they're going to require fucking work. And that's the beauty of it, because you're in control. Next on the list, I think if we're talking about, you know, the entrepreneurs out there, you got to stay one step ahead, for sure. You have to have this, I don't want to say anxiety because it's not the right word, but like the sense of urgency mixed with the level of patience. And you have to have this like hunger, like this fucking obsession and relentlessness to just improve little by little by little. You are not happy being average. You have zero patience for underperforming. You are not complacent. You're always trying to improve. It doesn't mean you're always going to win. That doesn't always mean more money or more clients or more reach or, you know, you're always going to be stronger, fitter, healthier. But you're always trying to improve. And in improvement and growth and success looks like a lot of things to a lot of different people depending on the season of life you're in. But that's how you stay one step ahead. You're always trying to improve. And you're always looking for a little bit of an edge. And staying the same, like we know, is not really a thing. So you don't even fucking consider it. I don't want to be the same. You know, I've had injuries before. It's like, I don't want to just be back to where I was. I want to be better. I want to have learned from this thing. Next on the list, high achievers, in my experience, aren't always way smarter and aren't always way more talented. Now, you're going to meet the people who are geniuses. They exist. I've met some of them. It's impressive. And you're going to meet people who are more naturally talented. And I've met a lot of those too. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch. And it's awesome to see. And it's humbling as fuck too. When you see somebody who has just a natural gift for things. And the example I always give is, you know, the first time I watched David Jack, who's been on the podcast multiple times. If you guys don't know, David Jack is an OG in the fitness game. He's one of the most talented speakers I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen everybody basically talk on stage. And the first time him and I are recording videos together, he gets on camera and just rips. And it's perfect. Take after take after take after take. And his facial expressions, his pauses, how he's, you know, upcutting words, how he's moving his hands. It's mastery at the highest level. And I walk in, you know, having practiced all of my shit. And obviously we have two different styles, but he is clearly, at the time, light years ahead of me. And it's not even close. And knowing him now, I can promise you he did about 4 seconds of preparation up until that point. Now he's, you know, he lives it every single day, so he's kind of always practicing. But to see someone who is that talented, it blows you away. So there is that. So I'm not saying like, well, Jeremy, this person can just jump out of the gym or this person can run a 4:40. Yeah, that's talent. And that's a real thing. And yeah, like, you know, Elon Musk is a genius. But those are the extremes. Those are the 1% of the 1%ers. But a lot of people who are high achievers, people who are physically fit, people who run successful businesses, people who have become, you know, great investors, people who have become multimillionaires, people who travel the world and are happy and have this sense of freedom and, you know, mindfulness, and they enjoy their life. They're not always way smarter and more talented. They just do the things everyone else dreams about doing. And there's a Kenny Smith quote I want to share here. He terms it like champions, but I just term it as high achievers. High achievers do daily what other people do occasionally. High achieving, healthy, wealthy, successful people do daily what other people just do occasionally. And that's what separates them. They do the little things every single day. They do the things everybody talks about doing and everybody dreams about doing. And they do the things every day that most people never do or that most people do only a couple of days. And that's where the separation happens. And that's what I mean. You have to focus on the daily habits and behaviors rather than just the outcomes. Now, the outcomes matter for sure because we all get paid for done and we get paid for the end result. But those things only come from the daily behaviors and the daily disciplines and the daily habits. And I would focus on those rather than the outcomes. And for some reason, naturally, that's just how I'm wired. I always know what I want the end outcome to be. Now, whether I end up there or not, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's I fall short, and sometimes I'm light years beyond. But I like to focus on the daily rituals and routines. That's what, I don't know, for some reason motivates me. That lights me up. That's the thing that I see as feasible doing versus just this monumental fucking goal. And so if it's, you know, financial things, right? The math stuff to me is easier. It's like, you know, macros, or it's, and maybe that's why I like the repetitiveness of things. You know, it's macros. It's an hour of mobility, which is, you know, 60 1-minute blocks. And when I do the mobility, I put them on a EMOM timer. So it clicks every single minute. Now, sometimes I do that because it helps me move through body parts. Okay, I'm going to do, you know, Jefferson curls for, you know, these 3-minute increments. I'm going to do, you know, weighted butterfly stretches for increment one, for reps, for two, for holds. And so I can go down the minutes by minutes by minutes, but it's 60 1-minute blocks. That seems very doable. If I say, I don't care if it's 120 degrees, I'm going to ruck for at least 22 minutes. I know how far I got to go. And I don't look at it as like, oh man, I got to ruck, you know, for another 206 days this year. No. I just look at it as, well, I got to do, you know, 20 minutes every single day. I don't say, well, I got to do, you know, 3 weeks worth of, you know, mobility in the next 4 months. I go, no, I got to do 1 hour per day. If you guys are looking at, you know, you got 100 pounds to lose. Yeah, it sucks. But if you lose half a pound a week, well, at the end of the year, pretty sweet, dude. Like, you lost 25 pounds. If you lost a pound a week, you're like, shit, that's 52 pounds. You lose 2 pounds a week. Boom, your 100 pounds is gone. It's that bite-sizable view that always seemed easier to me. Because you can control the behaviors and the discipline if you focus on day, day, day. Because you do control your behavior by disciplining yourself to enforce the new habits that you're almost always assured you're getting the outcome you want. Because you are in control of those things. Again, everybody has their kind of process and viewpoint, but that always seemed realistic to me. If you're a person who's got $100,000 of student loans or $10,000 of credit card debt, or you're trying to save up money, you know, to buy a house in the next, you know, 24 months, well, if you need, you know, $60,000, take your 24 months, times it out, and figure out how much money you have to save every single month, minus expenses, income, intake, all those things. But it's the daily habits, rituals, routines are going to get you there. What is the minimum effective dose you can commit to every single day to make improvement in any area of your life? I'm going to say this on top of that. And I've mentioned this before. You got to stop listening to 100 podcasts. I know it's funny enough as I say it on my podcast, but you can't listen to 100 podcasts. You can't watch 100 fucking YouTube videos and Instagram videos and reels and get sucked down the rabbit hole and do 8,000 different things. We've already talked about you can't do all the things, you don't have all the time. You can't take 9 different financial, you know, experts giving you advice and apply all 9 things at once. It doesn't work that way. You know, you learn by doing, not by just listening, watching, and talking about shit. You have to actually fucking do. And I get passionate about that because I watch so many people, oh, did you see this video? Did you listen to this? Did you listen to that? Yeah, dude, I didn't see it and I didn't watch it. You know why? Because I was actually fucking doing. And you, on the other hand, just keep watching videos and just keep listening to this stuff, but you're not actually putting the pieces into play. Knowing is not enough. Watching is not enough. Listening is not enough. You have to actually do. If you want to get better at public speaking, you have to actually speak. You have to actually go out in public and speak to people. If you want to be better on camera, you have to actually get on camera and practice. If you want to be more mobile, you have to actually do mobility. If you want to have better eating habits, you have to actually start fucking eating better at some point. You can't just hack your way there. Like, you have to actually just sit down and eat real food that makes your body feel good. I give it an example like fitness. Like, there's, I don't know how many exercises I even know. If I had to sit down for like hours and list them all out by, it's probably the easiest to go head to toe and go body part in terms of, you know, mobility and then strength. You could do speed work, locomotion, you name it. It's over 1,000, right? Like, let's say I know 1,000 exercises. I can't possibly do all those in a month. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have enough time to do all those things. There's too many to pick from. And even if I could do them all in a year, they wouldn't fit in a program. You know, it wouldn't make sense because I'm not I can't improve on 1,000 different skills. You gotta just pick like 1 or 2 things and go hard on those things. And really just get to doing, not just listening, watching, and talking. And I understand it's tough for people. There's fear of judgment. We've mentioned this on here before. Dude, nobody gives a shit. You know, we're all going to be dead in 100 years. And even if technology gets us further, okay, in 200 years, we're all going to be dead, right? No one's going to give a shit. No one's going to have cared. But you'll know. And you'll be at the end of your life and you'll play that, well, you know, what if I would have tried this? What if I would have took that chance? What if I would have actually, you know, fucking gave it my all, man? How different my life could have been. And I think about that a lot as I'm older now. And when I talk with the friends I grew up with, I'm like, man, you know, my life could have went 10 different directions, you know, and some of that's timing and some of it's luck or unicorn tears or the fucking universe or God or whatever you want to say it is. I don't know, but I know by putting myself out there and actually just doing shit and trying stuff and not being afraid of being embarrassed or I wasn't ready, it's allowed me to get here. You know, doing shitty workouts in a park with my wife and her friends and creating, you know, online programs for the people who, you know, actually thought I was an expert in 2006, you know, that's what got me here. I wasn't scared. I wasn't trying to make it quote unquote perfect. I was making it, you know, the best I could with what I knew. I tried to give the best experience I could and the most energy and create the best community with the knowledge I had at the time. But if I was just, oh, I really want to get better at coaching. I really want to get better at doing podcasts. I really want to get paid to speak in front of people. I really want to. And I just kept saying that and watching everybody else do it, but not do it myself. Where would I be at today? None of you would be listening to this. And trust me, man, the first couple weeks of doing something outside your comfort zone fucking sucks, dude. It's always the hardest. And you'll suck at it compared to experts. And you'll suck at it compared to people who've been doing it for a long time. But I did a podcast called The 100-Hour Rule. You can go back and listen to it. If you just commit to doing something 18 minutes per day for an entire year, That's 100 hours. Will you be an expert in that? And certainly not. But will you be better than 95% of the population? You bet your ass you will be. But you have to actually do it. 18 minutes of reading every day. 18 minutes of tissue work. 18 minutes of mobility. 18 million minutes of rucking. 18 minutes of studying about finances. 18 minutes talking to your spouse every day about what kind of life you guys want to have together. 18 minutes to play with your kids. Whatever the fuck the thing is, you just have to do it. You have to actually go out there. Now, those are simple things, and some of you might have really hard stuff you want to do, but you got to get out of your comfort zone. And for most of us, it takes something, you know, either negative or painful or catastrophic for us to do it, or forced to do it. We get fired from our job. You know, your husband or wife comes to you and calls you on your bullshit. You know, you have an injury. You know, you lose a shit ton of money in the market. Whatever it is, you have this thing where like, well, fuck, I need to fix this and be better at this. And now I'm forced to do it. It's if you can hopefully, you know, do it before you have that kind of, you know, come to Jesus moment. But most of us can't. And admittedly, for a lot of things in my life, I had to get kicked in the nuts, you know, for me to make the change. And it was never fun. Everything I do that's new, it's not comfortable for me either. And I know it's going to suck, but the way I look at it is I just commit to it sucking. And I'm like, you know what? This is not going to be fun. This is not going to be a vacation, you know, drinking beers on the beach, you know, in perfect weather. That's not what this is right now. Now, if I do this for long enough, that's where I'll get to. But right now, this is rucking in the fucking 118 degrees. Or right now, this is me shoveling snow as a 12-year-old kid when it's fucking 10 below. My dad's telling me to get my ass out there. That's what it is. But it's those things that build the calluses, that make you stronger, and actually put you in a position to be successful. And you grow from that. Because obviously, if you discipline yourself to get through stuff like that, typically you'll stay the course in anything else in life. You know, for me, talking to people in general, and my wife will raise her hand for this, all of my friends, my day one homies that I grew up with, all my teammates in college, you know, for me, talking in front of groups of people that's not my like close circle of one or two friends, it was like pulling teeth in the beginning. And now it's probably one of my favorite things to do because I know what it does for people. I don't like to hear myself talk. I don't ever listen to these back because it's, you know, when you hear your own voice, you think you sound like a fucking idiot. I'm that person for sure. But I didn't love to just get on video and talk. I didn't love to just get in a podcast and talk. I never loved, you know, the first group I ever spoke to, a damn near, you know, shit and piss my pants as I'm walking into the building. I'm so fucking nervous. But now it's one of my favorite things. And Heather will always ask me, like, are you nervous? And I'm like, no. I'm like, because for one, I only talk about things I know. And I've said all these things 800 times. And I know if I can get people to buy in the first couple of minutes, we can actually really help them and change their life. And we might not change everything in their life, but we know there's a couple of things they're going to hear that's going to stick with them. But that's the discipline you have to have, especially early on when you suck and you're not good. And you know, embarrass yourself. Like, I've been embarrassed on live TV. I've been embarrassed in front of groups of people. I've misspoke. I've said things wrong. And it's just you sharpening your sword. And everybody starts off with like this dull, shitty butter knife, you know, and towards the end, you got something that can cut through steel, man. And I got a couple more and I'll let you guys go. You know, this is a Rigsby one here. Business is like fitness. And your career is like fitness. Your relationship is like fitness. I think David Jack and I joke a lot, like everything is fitness and everything is not fitness, because I equate everything to what I learned in sports and what I learned through, you know, training my physical body, because I never really gave a shit about chemistry. And I couldn't fucking point out what a parallelogram is. I thought all that stuff was bullshit. But fitness and sports, I always thought mirrored life. Because there's no magic pill. And there's no results that just show up overnight. That doesn't happen in fitness. It doesn't happen when you play sports. What you have to focus on is the process. You have to fucking practice. You have to train. You have to work hard. You have to take care of yourself. You have to mentally prepare. You have to focus on that process. And if you do that, you're going to get where you want to go. And you're going to enjoy the journey. Are you going to love every day of practice? No. Sometimes practice sucks. In high school and college, some days I'm like, fuck practice. I don't want to be here. I love the sport. I love the game. I love playing. But I didn't love every single aspect of it every single day. And then some days, you loved it. Like, you just were jacked and excited to be there. And like, when you think about, man, my body can physically do this. And, you know, if it's like sport, right? If you ever played soccer or basketball or baseball, whatever it is, and you're just cooking, right? Like, you're just on fire and you're fucking just hot plating, smoking dudes, or you're just, you know, banging dingers out of the park. Like, it's a great feeling, man. But there's no magic pill for that. You had to practice. You earned that. Your business is that way. Unless your mom and dad own a company, your career is going to be that way too. And I can promise you, being married for, you know, basically at this point, we've been living together for shit, almost 15 years. Like, your marriage is like that. Your relationship's like that. There's no magic pill. The results don't come overnight. You got to focus on the day to day. Heather and I talk all the time. Like, it's not just about us just enjoying vacations. Anybody can, you know, be a good person on vacation. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody can be attractive and fun and the life of the party on the beach in Maui. That's not fucking hard to do. It's not hard to be happy there, you know, but can you focus on the day to day? Can you be awesome on a Tuesday in Wisconsin when it's negative 14 degrees and your partner's had a shit day? Can you make that day great? Because that, my friends, is what I'm talking about in terms of the process. And if you can do that, you'll enjoy the journey. On the same note, if you do the same things you've always done, you're going to get the same shit you always got. I think most of you know that. The people that I see who have had the most growth, the most happiness, the most success, they have made the biggest transformations in their physical body, they have made the most money, these are the people that step out of the comfort zone to get there. And they don't keep doing the same shit over and over and over again and asking why it's not changing. Because if you don't change it, it will never change. If you don't change it, you guys, it will never change. Nobody is coming to save you. No one's coming to wake you up. You don't have, even if you got a supportive, you know, spouse, Heather's not going to wake me up and tell me to go do mobility. Heather's not going to wake me up and say, Jeremy, go work on your business today. Hey, Jeremy, focus on your personal development. Work on these interpersonal skills you need to fix. You know, that doesn't happen. Nothing changes unless you change it. There's no golden parachute. There's nobody coming to your rescue. It's you. And there's so much beauty in that. But I also know that you can't help people until they want to help themselves. And if you got a partner or spouse or family members, or if you're a fitness coach, you're not going to help anybody until they're ready. That's never changed and it never will. And you also can't help yourself until you're ready. You have to be ready to make massive changes if you really want to, because it's not easy. And it's not for everybody. And it's okay if you want to live an average life, doing average shit, just going through the motions. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment here. But if you want to do epic shit, you got to live a little bit different, man. You know, and if I'm speaking for me personally, all my biggest losses, all my biggest fuck-ups, failures, injuries, all sadness, whether that be physical, mental, emotional, while they all sucked at the time, and I wouldn't want to live them over again, if I'm being completely transparent, they molded me, and they made me the person that I am today. Like, I wouldn't accept them as permanent losses and failure. You know, it's the sayings we put on our t-shirts here, everything is temporary. You know, and if it's not temporary, then it's the fucking end, and who gives a shit anyway, because then we're gone. But if it's not the end, you got another day, man. And everything else is temporary. Right now, financially, you're in a fucking bind. It's temporary. Right now, you know, your marriage is a little bit fucked up. It's temporary. you know, right now you're going through some injuries, your shoulder hurts, your back hurts, your hip hurts. It's temporary. Right now you have some people in your life who are, you know, have some illnesses going on, and there's some sadness and there's some emotional despair going on. It's temporary. It's not permanent. And when there's valleys in your life, you guys, there's peaks around the corner. And that's the beauty of it. And again, you can accept these things and it can be part of your story and say, well, you know, poor me, and you can live in that kind of victim mentality boat, and there's shitty things that are going to happen in your life. I get that, man. I'm not saying there isn't. But you can't focus on that. You can turn those weaknesses into strengths. You know, if you get punched in the face on Monday, it's okay. If you're still laying on the ground on Tuesday, that's a problem. You got to get up. And you got to, you know, for lack of a better phrase, you got to just kind of go fucking John Wick on all your problems and turn the things that you hated in your life, the things that were the biggest struggle and the biggest setbacks and the biggest obstacles, into strengths. If I'm speaking personally here, you know, I grew up as a kid who was broke as shit, you know, so I'm like, fuck it. I don't want to be broke anymore. I need to become a multimillionaire. That's what the fuck I need to do. I need to be so driven that that happens, where I have this sense of whether it's safety or security or money or whatever the fuck it was, I became obsessed with it. So boom, I had to do it. That was it. And I remember one time I was on this project, shout out to BJ Gador from Men's Health, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, where the split squats nearly crushed me and I wanted to walk off set, and I called Heather and said, I want to quit because I don't think I can do this because my legs are fucked and this is day one. And so for every day, for an entire year, I did split squats because I'm like, that's not going to be the thing that breaks me. Growing up broke is not going to be the thing that I live in my entire life. I'm not always going to be broke. Split squats are not going to be my fucking Achilles heel. I'm going to own them. So let me just face them and do them every single day for a year. If I talk about like physical injuries, right? Like for me personally, and I'll do a deep dive with Dr. G and Russ and some of these guys on this later on. But I had disc issues, L3-L4, L4-L5, L5-S1, bulging discs and an unroofing on L5-S1. I'm on day 150 of an hour of mobility because of that. If that didn't happen, I probably would have just kept going on the path I was going on, which would have been cool, I guess. You know, I'm strong, I'm fit, I can run a mile under 6 minutes, I can dunk a basketball, I can do all these fucking impressive things for a 40-year-old guy, but I'd be a little bit sore. I'd be a little bit tight, and things would keep just kind of, you know, chipping away at my armor year after year after year as I got older. But because of that, because I felt so tight and so bound up and I felt so shitty for about 3 fucking months straight, I'm like, let me fix it. Let me commit to doing at least 1 hour of mobility every single day for 150 days, which I think I'm like a day 150 something right now. Not only am I back to where I was, but I'm even stronger and more mobile than before and more functional than ever in my life at damn near 40 years old. Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40. I share all that not to brag or make me sound like some fucking superhero, because I'm not. I'm being transparent here in my life of things that I was dealt. I'm like, I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at communicating with people. How do I get better? Let me turn on the iPhone and talk into it for hours and hours and hours a day so I can present what I know to people so I can actually fucking help them. I didn't want to be, you know, broke and living paycheck to paycheck and having stress and anxiety about money like I had basically my entire, you know, life until I was, you know, probably 30 fucking years old. And I'm like, now I don't have that anymore. Let me turn these weaknesses into strengths. You know, these are not the things that are going to hold me back. These are not the things that are going to define me. And these are all small things in my life, you guys. Again, same thing. I'm not going to let my addiction to, you know, alcohol and tobacco and other drugs and all the dumb shit I was doing, let that be my story. I can beat those things. The losses and the setbacks don't bury you. They can if you let them. It's easier, for sure. It's easier just to lay down and die. It's easier just to stay stuck and say, well, I have addictive personality. Well, I grew up broke, or I have bad genetics and I don't have this social circle and I'm not that smart IQ-wise and I'm just never going to be at these places. So the losses and the setbacks and the bullshit fucking victim mentality story can bury you if you let it, or it can plant you to become the fucking savage you're going to be in everything else in your life. And when you can defeat some of these things holding you back, you start to stack up wins, you guys. Well, you know what? I did kick this alcohol habit, so now I can take it to here. Well, you know what? I used to be 50 pounds overweight, but I lost the weight now. And you know, I used to have, you know, $20,000 of credit card debt, and now I'm debt-free. There's all these things you can do. And if you start to look back at your life, you've already won some of these battles. You just have to pull back and remember them. And again, it sucks when things aren't going your way. It sucks when things aren't going right. But I promise you, the losses and the setbacks and the failures and the fuck-ups, they are not there, my friends, to bury you. They're just there to plant you. And you got to take one step back to take 100 steps forward. But if you focus on that every single day and you look at it, get over the initial, you know, sadness and emotional stuff of like, man, this sucks. I hate it. You know, why did this? And we all do it. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen now? I've learned enough lessons. And trust me, you guys, every time I get kicked in the nuts, I'm like, fuck, dude, I've done this enough. I know. And then once I get past it, I go, you know, right? Actually, this is a sign. This is me accepting, yeah, I could be better here. I could improve here. And because of this, I'm going to be, you know, a fitter, stronger, better, more mindful, perspective viewing, gratitude seeing person. And it's hard when you're in it. But I promise you guys, the things that are kind of rolling your way, they're not there to bury you, man. They're just there to kind of push you outside your comfort zone so you transform into being just a fucking savage. So you can be wealthy and healthy and happy. And that's really it. These are really just, they're tactical things that you can take with you and do. And I know they're, a lot of it's just, well, it's just, Jeremy, these are just sayings. I'm like, they are. But if you start to change your framework and the way that you think about the world and the way that you see the world and the way that you talk to yourself and you start to adopt a different belief system, I'm not saying if you just do that, things will change. But if you do that and then you take action, your fucking life will change. You can be the fittest, strongest, happiest, wealthiest, most mobile, mindful, badass human you ever thought possible. And this is where it starts. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And hopefully this episode actually records. We're going to find out here in a minute when I load it up. I'm traveling next week, you guys. So I'll do my best to come your way and get a bunch of stuff cooking here. But if worst case scenario, I'll hop back on here the first week of August. But if I'm traveling, I can get something out quick. I definitely will do it. If you guys have any questions about the app, I'm happy to answer them. Again, JeremyScottFitness.app. You guys get a week for free. You still can join the Abs and Core Challenge. It's live in there. All my personal weekly workouts. Yeah, we're loading stuff obviously every single week. If you guys have questions on any of our sponsors, please just hit me up and ask. And then obviously we have free samples of AG1 here. So if you guys want to check those out, I'm happy to have Monica send you some sample packs right to your front door. Other than that, just keep on the lookout for all of our stuff that we're sharing on our email newsletter list. We send out 3 emails a week every week. We've done that for 13 years. So if you guys are not on the email list, hit me up. I'm happy to add you there. And again, pumping stuff out to YouTube every single week as well. And thank you guys who are watching on YouTube. We appreciate you. Drop a comment, leave some notes here, and I'm happy to chat with you there. So I appreciate you guys. If you're on Spotify, drop it a quick 5-star. Takes about 10 seconds. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcast, drop it a 5-star, leave a comment. I truly would appreciate it. And if you have a friend or family member who needs a little, you know, kick in the ass, and this is kind of like their, you know, fiery pep talk, share it with them. Hopefully this can help them, you know, make a change in their life. If you know they have potential and you believe in them, sometimes it's just somebody else seeing it from the outside is the thing they need to make the change. So have an amazing rest of your Friday, you guys. And until next time, eat well, train hard, be nice to people. And please, you guys, keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.